You know what I love? 4X games. Absolutely love them. But also hate them. It's a strange and toxic relationship I have with 4X games. Because I love them when it comes to expanding and the cool machinations and the research and building cities. But then there's the politics. I hate the politics in 4X games because everyone else is such an asshole. Building their cities close to mine. Claiming my land and then getting pissy when the troops that are already there are too close to their border. And no game captured these raw and complex emotions quite like Endless Space 2. So this episode, I want to tell you a bit about the game, and hopefully by the end, I'll convince you to play and probably have a much better performance than me. Let's go. Hello everyone, and welcome back. I'm sorry about the delay, but unfortunately I have people in my life that won't let me just burn the candle at both ends, record while I'm sick, and be miserable for weeks at a time. Which I would have happily done if I was given the chance. But, before I get into trouble with my girlfriend and friends for that, welcome back to the Update Corner, where I have some exciting news to share. First, we have reached 1,000 channel views. I think right now we're actually at 1,500. We now have over 1,500 views. I'm pretty sure we're actually approaching 2,000. And on the podcast feeds, we've hit 1,000 total downloads. I think we're reaching 1,200. I cannot thank you guys enough for choosing to listen to my goofy, silly shit. That said, please do continue to like, comment, and subscribe, and continue to check out the show for more of this crazy, crazy stuff. Also, check out WinKoshka's streams, and you better be fucking kind, you son of a bitch, and their stream on October 10th, especially as that is their celebratory 100-follower karaoke stream. Also, check out Mystic Luna at Halloween Town and online. They're going to be there the entire month, every weekend. And of course, check out Dude Diamond. He's getting back into the game, and if you'd like to see me in a lot more relaxed and chill mood, come check me out there. And with that, let's get on to the show. Okay, so this episode is going to kick my ass a little. Because its identity has changed more times than an early 2000s musical sensation. Or JoJo Siwa trying to be as cringe as possible in as many ways as possible. Because it started out with how goofy the factions are, then turned into a game review, then turned into an episode about the basic mechanics, and then back again, and I think I've decided that I just want to talk about the game. No conclusion, no big crazy reveal or endpoint, just, hey, this game is cool, how about you check it out? That being said, I'm going to more focus faction by faction, because that's the part that I really like. But unfortunately, since it's a 4X game in all the ways that means, I can't talk about the following factions. Vaulters, Umbral Choir, Hisho, or Nokalim. They look cool, and I'd be interested, but they're all different DLCs, and I'm not here to sell you on DLC. So instead, I'm just going to talk about the major factions in the base game. Good? Good. But before we talk about that, let me tell you how the game generally works. You play as one of 8 major factions trying to take control of the Endless Galaxy, the setting for all the Endless games, after a massive collapse of the Galactic Endless Empire. The first two things I want to tell you about are FIDSI and Systems. Systems are the territory you control, being a star system and the planets within it. These planets would be similar to something like your districts in a Civ game, and all have their own combination of anomalies, class, size, climate, and fertility. You'll always start with your unique home planet, but beyond that, you need specific technologies to expand further and colonize more planets that don't match your faction's colonizable planets. And unless you're Lumeris, Unfallen, or Vodjani, you colonize new systems as colony ships. Lumeris just buy planets outright, the Unfallen use tentacle porn, and Vodjani use a traveling oppression mobile. The other kind of unique thing is that instead of just being able to travel to any system you want, you have to use interconnected routes. FITSI, meanwhile, stands for the primary five resources of the game, besides population and approval. It means food, industry, dust, science, and influence. Food is for growth, industry is for building, dust is your money, science is research, and influence is the political power. Besides that, a lot of these systems will work similar to other 4X games. Also, the Vodjani have essence, which is all the dust-infused life essence of other races they use to power their technology. Yep, that's what they use. Now we also have the politics. Basically, your empire's policies relate to resources and abilities that you can pick and choose depending on the power and affinity you have with different political parties. Those being independent, militarists, industrialists, scientists, ecologists, pacifists, and religious. We'll talk about other mechanics as they come up or are needed, but let's get into the factions. Beginning with the Unfallen. They come from the primeval forest world of Koyasil, being a peaceful species for millennia that were naive to the universe around them. They evolved extremely slowly during a period called the Long Sleep, and yes, they're tree people. Very little ambition or desire to hoard resources, want everyone to live peacefully and happy in the grand old galactic biosphere, are deep and slow thinkers, like to be optimistic, and have deeply interconnected society and culture. They also have a kind of interesting lifestyle, with their seedlings being born from resin-covered seeds that need to be exposed to fire to crack open and start growing. During this phase, these first learn from each other and are entirely immobile. During this phase, the first learn from others and are entirely immobile. The seconds are their adult forms and are fully ambulatory, and the thirds are again fully immobile, begin sprouting seeds, and are wise elders that live until killed. But anyways, they didn't really enter the galactic stage willingly, with a battle taking place in orbit and raining down debris on them. With this, they realized they needed to act and do something, or the galaxy would rip itself apart. Okay. So now we talk about another mechanic unique to Endless Space. Species, traits, and population. Basically, every species has its own unique trait and political opinions. For the Unfallen, they actually have two. Unfallen and Guardians. Unfallen give you bonuses to food and fall under the pacifist political group. Guardians, meanwhile, give you some pretty good defenses on planets, increase your approval and influence, and are also pacifists. Guardians are found as curiosities on non-sterile worlds. Now, the Unfallen also use the unique Celestial Vines mechanic to colonize systems, using vine ships to spread their tendrils to new systems, allowing them to colonize it or grant a bonus to allies that live in it. And their whole style revolves around pacifism, approval, and friendship amongst factions. Which, if you're used to 4X games, you know this is a lie. Because for some goddamn reason, when they're an NPC faction, like every other pacifist faction, they decide peace was never an option, strap on a Black Templar shoulder plate, and fuck your shit up from orbit. But also, whenever I play as them, everyone spits on me and acts like I'm a scumbag, so it might just be something I'm doing wrong, but I don't know. Next are the Riftborn, a faction that comes from an alternate, abstract, timeless universe called Koroz. And like the Unfallen, they would have been entirely happy to just live their best lives, but again, this is the Endless series. People aren't allowed to just be chill. So a rift was kind of their reality, introducing time, disorder, and concrete reality into their universe. And they weren't able to stem the tide, so they decided to build themselves bodies and enter into the Endless Galaxy to look for a solution to their problems. Their robotic bodies are meant to combine the best that they can create in their fields of fighting, learning, and engineering, and spend all their time trying to find a way to close the rift into their reality to save themselves, meaning that they do not give a shit about galactic politics or saving the universe. In fact, the way that species in the Endless Galaxy are able to self-animate and move is deeply disturbing to them, meaning they do not like living around, like, not even just sentient, but living creatures. The Riftborn traits give you a bonus to science, industry, and dust, and also boost your industrial output with higher populations and support industrialist policies. Riftborn also don't grow naturally, meaning you have to use construction cues to build more members of the species. They can also modify the space-time continuum, because that's a thing that should definitely be messed with and is also entirely reasonable for them to be able to do. Which means in-game you're able to build singularities of a few types and put them on systems, yours or others. Compressions, dilations, rips, folds, and stasis. A compression increases the efficiency on the system and increases recovery and experience gains. A dilation reduces efficiency on the system and recovery and experience gains drop. A rip allows you to undo fleet movements, replay battles, and increase influence. Folds grant the effect of the thing currently being built, refills movement points, increases dust, and heroes are no longer locked to a system, which they normally are if they're assigned to one, and a stasis blocks the system entirely and stops it from doing anything or collecting resources, but gives a science bonus. And as you can imagine from me describing them, these are one of the ones that I'm worst with. I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing every time I start a Riftborn game, and it's almost guaranteed last place on the leaderboard, because I never build singularities or population at the optimum times. I mean, I'm always over or underpopulated and have a stockpile of singularities and never get used, because the best time to use it was 15 turns ago. But now we get a little bit goofy. Horatio. Back in the day, when the Mizari Empire was a thing, humans, by the way, Horatio was a mutant with a long-ass head that was made fun of and bullied a lot as a child. And like most maladjusted, megalomaniacal bullied children, he became incredibly wealthy as an adult. Like, trillionaire rich. But being a maladjusted megalomaniac, he decided to leave home as the entire galaxy started to fall apart, and cryogenically froze himself on a ship to find a hospitable world to mold to his own image. And when he arrived to this new planet, he found endless ruins containing advanced cloning and genetic altering technologies. Using it, he made himself to the peak of what he considered beauty before thinking, well, hold on a minute. Who better to rule the entire galaxy than yours truly? And who better to serve than yours truly? So he cloned an entire species of Horatios, but not exact copies. He made them all subservient to him, loyal, obedient, and lacking a drive to change their lot in life. Their culture and society is highly advanced in genetics and not much else, but luckily, they are also very accepting of other races. As long as you don't mind that sometimes that means your neighbors go missing and serve genetic data to improve the Horatios. Which is actually their primary trait, Gene Hunter, where if you have enough population of another species, you can sacrifice some of them and gain some of their unique species traits. Of course, the Horatios have some themselves. They identify with the ecologist ideologies, grant a food bonus, and approval or influence in hot climates. They also don't really mind crowds. Now, this is a very fun faction to play, and they actually have been mostly chill to me whenever they're in a game alongside me. Which, I'm not a big fan of liking them, because their entire faction identity makes me think of if Jeff Bezos and Oprah Winfrey combined in the worst possible way. Now, besides that, they actually play like most other factions, which makes them pretty friendly to new players. Then is the United Empire, the true you-should-start-here faction. Usually. These guys also came from the Mizari. They settled on the resource-rich world of Raya, and as you expect, as they conquered and industrialized the world, they turned on each other, as humans tend to do. Now, as fully industrialized, highly militarized nations, you'd imagine they'd just motherfuck the entire planet. But unlike modern politicians, they have to, you know, stay alive. They recognize that's a bad idea, so they pulled away from the nukes. But in the aftermath of this world-spanning war was the Alliance of Nations that led them back into the stars using a combination of threats, payment, and moral obligations. Until the Emperor, Maximilian Zelivus, hijacked it. Under his brutal but visionary leadership, he gained control over the Empire and, yeah, they're the classic sci-fi fascist allegory. They also have one of the simplest backstories because it is the most relatable to us as humans. You don't have to really stretch to think about that happening. And in a similar way, their mechanics are easy to understand. They're very close to vanilla. The Imperials species gives you a bonus to influence and industrialists, and increases your influence proportional to your industry. And their special power is Emperor's Will, which lets you buy out technologies, buildings, and resources using influence, which makes them very me and beginner friendly because you can build stuff very fast and get very big fleets. As long as you make sure to keep your influence and industry up. If it stays up for more than 4 hours, you should call a doctor, though. Now, unlike other factions, too, the United Empire can, at certain points in the campaign, change out their species to either the Mizari or Sheridan. The Mizari gives you a science bonus and supports scientist policies. Sheridan, meanwhile, increases your manpower capacity, which is used to crew ships and invade planets, and increases your militarist politics. Of course, you could also stick with your current deal and stay Imperials. Next up is the Vojani, the faction I really wish I liked to play as. So these guys are the classic victims of their own success, like me one day being hospitalized for taking up the butt too hard because I couldn't resist teasing the Dom Femboy. And unlike me in that situation, the Vojani weren't the ones getting the fuck, they were giving it. To their planet. And in desperation, they used technology discovered in endless ruins to save themselves. And these first users became divinely empowered beings wearing endless black suits they now call cloth, and pilot their massive arcs through space. Now all this sounds well and good, right? Like they've managed to save their species. Unfortunately, it comes with a catch. See, for some fucking reason, the tech they stole requires biological life essence. So what do? Well, if they're pressed for time, they kidnap people, plants, and animals from planets and draw the life force out of them. But they have more time, they indoctrinate them and make them sacrifice themselves. Well, reasonably, everyone else sees this as really fucking morbid. In their minds, they're higher on the food chain and chosen by God in anime to suck the soul out of your body in the not-fun way and use it to power their toaster ovens. Now, their society is harshly controlled by the church. Surprise, surprise. With all endless artifacts being property of the church, including their life-supporting cloth. Meaning they have natural selected their entire species into zealots obsessed with worshipping the endless and discovering ancient ruins. The Vojani, out of all the races in the game, have some of the most unique mechanics. See, because they ruin their own home planet and mostly survive by consuming other people's souls, they need to keep moving. In fact, they have a unique resource to represent this. Essence, which can be used to build arcs and create their population. But they don't settle planets. Instead, you take an arc to a planet, plop it down and attach it to the world, and then it counts as colonized until you move on. The actual species itself gives a bonus to food, dust, industry, and science, and favors religious policies. No shit. The Vojani are also the other assholes I encountered during my playthrough. Almost guaranteed within 15 turns of meeting them, they'll be trying to extort me for money or tell me to get off the planet they're squatting on. Speaking of which, the Lumeris. They built their society around trade, economic deals, and growth and business. The economy is extremely important to them, and they became spacefaring on the back of trade families to run different aspects of their economy and society. For them, the most important thing is to make a deal. The other name of their culture is the Four Families, in reference to the four traditional power blocks. Those being the Meos agriculturalists, Omakar construction and unionists, Lancelium shipwrights, and Araikyo legislators. And this keeps their society running because generally these families agree with each other on things and prefer to keep the peace rather than getting ahead of each other. They expand very fast and are, in lore at least, probably the best choice for the ones to rebuild the galaxy. I don't personally think to run the galaxy after that, but good choice to rebuild it. But now let's talk about why I fucking hate them. These big, stupid, dumb, idiotic, flesh mustache wearing, big titty, definitely not sexy at all assholes have one of the most annoying abilities I've ever had to deal with. Instead of colony ships, they buy the rights to planets. Now this sounds cool as hell, right? And it is, when you play as them. But every fucking goddamn time I play against them, they don't do shit but move their explorer ships through my area, follow my explorers around, and then wait for me to establish a colony before getting pissed at me, claiming the planet, and then rush ordering their colony to snatch the system from me. Every fucking time. Now, sure, they have finite money when you play as them, because their entire gameplay is built on making money, meaning their species trait gives you bonus dust and all the other stuff about reducing costs. But playing against them, the AI will calculate the optimal way to stockpile infinite wealth by turn 5, and then spend the rest of the game trolling you. Despite all of this, somehow, they're pacifists. For someone who's not a pacifist, we have the Cravers. See, back in the day, the Cravers were insectoid hunter-gatherers that were in an extremely primitive state with no ability to plant crops or domesticate animals because they were too stupid. But they were really good at killing. So the Endless, seeing the hyperviolent war bugs, decided, tasty war crimes, and biologically and cybernetically manipulated them into super soldiers and equipped them with high-powered weapons to dump onto unsuspecting worlds to kill everything in sight. They would then pick them back up so that their whole thing of being unable to comprehend sustainable resource management, build permanent structures, or ignore their biological imperative to stop eating for even a second, wouldn't have any consequences long term on the planet's health. Until, one day, the Cravers had just finished their job killing everything that moves and then eating everything else, when the Endless just didn't show up. Because they all died. Which led the Cravers to just figure it out for themselves. And yes, they do have the classic bug hierarchy. Except with a slight twist that 2/3 of their population is barely even cognitively aware enough to recognize they're alive. The queen is mostly a breeding machine and breaks ties in the government when she's not popping out more drones. And the people making real choices are called bishops. Gameplay-wise, they are the closest you're going to get to legit bad guys in the base game. Unless you count the Riftborn or the Vodiani, but those ones are kind of iffy because there's some aspect of they have to do this. The Cravers don't. The Cravers' unique mechanic is depletion, where over time, they deplete the planet's resources until they're collecting a tiny amount from the planet they live on long term. A single Craver population will drain a planet in just about 100 turns. But in the meantime, they collect 150% more resources. However, they're also slavers, meaning if there's another species on the same planet, they get another 100% of the resources, meaning they gain resources fast. And being very militaristic, they love to do a killing and enslaving and eating basically everyone and everything. And I like playing as these guys. They're evil in a way that's good to have in fictional settings, and they're also really fun to play. Playing against them, though, is going to be rough unless you also have a big swinging dick of imperialism. Trying to roleplay the Unfallen and Craver show up is a great way to get turned inside out by your asshole like a sock. And then the final faction of the game, the Sophons. These guys, since the beginning of their species, had always been extremely curious, analytical, and inquisitive about everything. They pushed the envelope and constantly innovated, and for the Sofons, nothing is perfect and everything could be improved with some tinkering. Meaning they're constantly working on something. Even though that something would be deemed unimportant by everyone else, or something you really shouldn't be fucking with. However, they're not the normal scientist stereotype. No. See, instead of being cautious and careful researchers, or questioning their choices or decision-making, they completely lack caution or any real consideration for their own safety or the safety of others, or even the necessity of the science they're doing or the thing that they're tinkering with. And they will tinker, even if that means blowing up their own moon, blowing up your moon, or double-deckering your toilet. And while they seek to understand and discover things, they don't care about how you feel about it, or if they do or say something offensive or sacrilegious. They see war and politics as a distraction, and instead just throw their society headlong into learning, exploration, philosophy, and study in an attempt to solve the universe. Consequences be damned. Also, by the way, this is why scientists and engineers have ethics classes. Because this is what happens when you don't have an ethics class. And the Sofons are actually the race suggested as a start to learn the game with. Because they are unimaginably forgiving. They research fast, meaning they get access to some pretty good weapons. And while they're technically pretty weak in a fight on the ground, they start off with pretty good weapons aboard even their exploration vessels. Now, in addition to that, their primary trait is omniscience, which allows you to know who's learning what techs. You gain science bonuses for the fewer people that have a technology that you're interested in, and you're able to research one tier higher than you normally can. And the species supports this, giving you science bonuses and supporting scientists, meaning you're able to get to endgame technologies before anyone else can. So now that I've covered the base game's races and given you the overview you need to get into the game, would I recommend it? Well, yes. And no. Look, just let me go through why I like it, and maybe you'll see my point. Hell, some of the things I dislike might be things you like and vice versa. Or maybe you're like me and this will just become your next addiction. So first on the list of things I like is that it's simple. See, I'm a fake 4X fan. Don't give me your Stellaris or Europa Universalis or Crusader Kings. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing in those. I couldn't even get through the tutorial of Stellaris. Games like Zephon, the Endless series, Humankind, Civilization, Age of Wonders, and Fallen Enchantress are all my speed. Those are all games I own, by the way. I highly recommend those. Secondly, I grew up on fantasy novels, 40K, The Clone Wars, and Stargate Atlantis. I love stuff that can be grim one moment, goofy the next, and sci-fantasy in another. And Endless Space 2 hits that perfectly. The Cravers are fucking horrifying. The Sofons have zero concept of cautious limitations, and Horatio being so self-centered he created an entire species of himself are both goofy as hell and funny. And between the endless dust and more pseudoscientific Cthulhu mythos gobbledygook that you can shake a stick at, I love the aesthetic and the themes so much. There's also a lot of customization. From ship loadouts to making your own custom factions, I can be really creative with the game when I want to. And there's cool mechanics, faction identities, and random generation for each round to feel really unique, and for games to play out differently each time. And I like the little touches like the Senate, how population works, and how star systems are managed. All of that comes together into a game I really like to play and really gets the gears turning. Of course, though, there's parts I don't like. Firstly, pirates and land invasions can eat my entire dick and balls. I hate dealing with pirates randomly taking over systems that are rightfully mine. And within the first few turns, too, and with a fleet that's better than anything you can even produce at the time. Meaning, they have time to gain a foothold by the time you can fight them. Making the process of kicking them out not even worth it anymore. So much so that I prefer the game better when pirates are off. Also, the Lumeris and Riftborn are fucking bastards that ruin almost every game I play while they're present. They're so sneaky and conniving and aggressive, and it fucking blows sometimes. And maybe part of the problem is that, like Endless Legends, I just do not understand diplomacy at all. I cannot make heads or tails of how the entire system works. Same with build order. I have no idea how to manage a build order. But ultimately, the biggest thing that stops me from loving this game more, I refuse to learn a goddamn thing. I know this is a bit simpler and it was just the basics, but I really love Endless Space 2. I just wanted to share that with you all. Maybe if you're interested, we could maybe play it together. And maybe, you know, smooch just a little bit, but, you know, in a platonic, parasocial way. Unless. Anyways, thank you for listening. If you have opinions, improvements, corrections, and anything else you want to talk about, comment below or email me at waytatpods@gmail.com. That's waytatpods@gmail.com. And remember to like, share, and subscribe for more. And follow my podcast feed for audio versions, and come back next time when I grade fruit on how good they'd be as a weapon of war. Have a good night, don't murder, have fun, and remember, I still won't pay my taxes, no matter who the Lumeris send. This has been Why You're Talking About This, and I've been your host, William. Good night.